Hey, we're up. Look like I'm going to get a show on after all. I thought for a minute there I was going to have some problems getting the show going, but evidently we're up and running today. Well, welcome to another Parents Coach to Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. Well, as you know, folks, this evening's show has motivated me to address some issues about, as I would like to try to put it, the recruiting memo. But even more so, this is what I'm going to say about the memo. We did not get the memo. What do I mean by that? We, the masses, the parents of the prospective student athletes, did not get the memo. What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about something this evening that is a really near and dear concern to me. And as a result, I decided to make sure that what I have learned and what I have become to understand as part of the recruiting process, I'm going to share. I'm going to share it with every single one of you. Every single one of you that wants the information, please, by all means, make sure that you reach out to me here at the Parents Coach to Parents Network. And if you are not currently a part of the recruiting process and you know someone that is, by all means, please share this information with them and have them connect with us here on the Parents Coach to Parents Network. What am I talking about? I'm simply talking about the memo, the recruiting memo. Well, you keep saying that, and you're talking about this memo, but we don't know what you're talking about. Well, there are a number of things that we don't understand. We haven't gotten any thorough information or knowledge on. It's just so many things that's part of the recruiting process that are vague to the average parent. If your child is not a high-profile student-athlete, someone that somebody out there envisioned seeing on TV during the March Madness or whatever, if your child isn't that child, then guess what? You may not get the memo. You may not get the first bit of information for your child to be successful at fulfilling their dreams. Why is that so? Well, first of all, we don't demand it. Secondly, we put that responsibility in the hands of others. Thirdly, we think that it's an automatic thing because your child is playing a high school sport that he or she should automatically be a part of the recruiting process. Well, parents, I say this to you. You didn't get the memo. You didn't get the memo because oftentimes they choose not to share the memo with you. And when they choose not to share the memo with you, then your child and yourself, to include your entire family, is left out in the dark. So, the recruiting memo. You know, I stated something in the description when I was talking about this show. And the one thing that I really and truly pushed upon, really and truly made sure it stood out with you because I put it in capital letters. We do not know what we don't know. As a result, what am I talking about? The information that should have been shared with us from our high school NCAA or coordinator, someone that I've talked about over the years, should be in every high school, every member institution, every school that's registered with the NCAA should have a coordinator that can sit down and talk to each and every parent that if their child is involved in high school sports and give them a better understanding of the recruiting process. Does this happen on a regular basis? I'd be willing to bet it doesn't. Now, if it happens in your school, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you this evening. Give us a call at 917-889-2836. I'll say that number again, 917-889-2836. Give us a call at that number and join in on the conversation and share with us how that memo is passed in your area. But I'd be willing to bet the majority of you listening to this show this evening didn't get the memo. Why? Sad to say, folks. Sad to say that your school administration or your school athletic department doesn't place the same amount of value on your child's career as you do. Should they? No. Again, that's your child. I made that point very clear. We're talking about your child's career. So they may not place the same amount of value on your child's career as you do. Are they wrong for that? No. Again, that's part of our responsibility. But, and, or, all of the above, to ensure that we get the memo, I would say that that is their responsibility. Why is that their responsibility? Because someone in every high school that has, that participated, or that participate, excuse me, schools, interscholastic program, someone in that school is responsible for getting you as a parent of a student athlete the memo, the recruiting memo, the information that talks to you, tells you, break it down for you what the recruiting process is all about and how you can the best of that process. Now, am I saying that every child will be recruited? No, I'm not saying that. Well, why shouldn't every child be afforded the opportunity to go if he or she has the desire to put forth every effort, every bit of talent, every bit of energy that they have to play at the next level? There are a number of college coaches out there that oftentimes bring on walk-ons, use some of their managers, and all these other various things to fulfill their roster spots. Now, of course, you don't have that issue going on at the major programs because our kids are knocking and kicking down doors to get into the major programs. But What about the Division II, the Division III, the NAIA schools, the Division I, II, and III? What about those programs? You know, you got your mid-majors. There are still some mid-majors that oftentimes aren't able to fulfill all their spots. So, why shouldn't our children have the opportunity to get into school or have the opportunity to at least have a chance to throw their name in the hat through the athlete for that institution? Why? Because we don't get the memo. And when as a result of us not getting the memo, we sit back and we blame everybody else. We, and I stress this point all the time, parents, we turn that responsibility over to individuals who have no connection with our child, may have met our child within the last year or two, but now we're supposed to be comfortable enough and confident enough to give that responsibility to an individual that knows very little about our child and trying to steer our child in a particular direction? Come on, parents. I need you to do better than that. I need you to do better than that. So this is the secret that I wanted to share with you this evening as I talk about the memo. And then talking about this memo, I talk about a whole host of things that I want you to be aware of. You know, one of the things that we miss out on, we think about the summertime and the spring tournaments. We think about the summer and the spring tournaments that our kids get involved in. And I just want to share some information with you from some information I pulled off the NCAA's website. Teams participating in NCAA certified events are restricted to including athletes who reside within the same state as the team's official address. Now, did you hear and understand what I just said? I said teams are restricted to, including athletes who reside within the same state as the team's official address. Now, there's a little catch in it, because I know some of you are probably saying, well, the team that my son played on, we had a couple kids from another state. Okay, listen to me. Follow, stay with me. Think about that first statement that I made. Teams participating in an NCAA certified event are restricted to included athletes who reside within the geographical adjoining state to the team's official address. Now, the boys' teams are limited to 3 adjoining state athletes. 3 adjoining state athletes. Can you have a roster of 5 athletes on your team from adjoining state? No. 3. This is as of 2018. This just recently hit as of this year. They are pushing this issue. They are trying to ensure that this is no longer a problem. As for girls, girls are not limited limited in numbers, but the athlete must be from an adjoining state. Adjoining state. Let me give you an example. If we're talking about the state of North Carolina, how many different states do the state of North Carolina touch? Of course, they touch the state of Virginia. Of course, they touch the state of South Carolina. Of course, they touch, if I'm not mistaken, they touch the state of Virginia as well. Now, as you're looking at that geographical map, you have to remember that we're talking about adjoining states. I'm going to give you a very realistic one. Okay. Let's look at the state of North Carolina. State of North Carolina, we're looking at the map of the state of North Carolina. We're looking at the map of the state of North Carolina. And in looking at that map, we realize that the state of North Carolina touches Virginia, touches, okay, let me make sure I got the state line right here very clear. Okay, it touches Tennessee. Touches South Carolina. And trying to see if it actually touches Georgia anywhere. Yes, I believe it touches Georgia as well. So, if I was playing on a team, or if my son was playing on a team, the coach could actually bring in athletes from the following states. If the team was out of North Carolina, coach can bring in athletes from Georgia. The coach can bring in athletes from Tennessee. The coach can bring in athletes from Virginia. And let me go back and check this map even clearer, because it looks like the state of North Carolina may even touch. Nope, it doesn't. I thought it may have even touched parts of West Virginia, but it doesn't. But the state of North Carolina, it touches Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. So in all actuality, the coach can go out and recruit kids from those states. He can bring in one kid from each, well, he can bring in a total of three kids. I'm not sure if you was aware of that or if that was something that you was totally familiar with, but that is definitely the case. The coach can bring in three athletes from the various states. But again, That's the memo you didn't get. That's the memo that you didn't get. So your child is actually competing against children out of another state. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you, as a parent, consider taking your child to another state, an adjoining state? Let he or she participate in a showcase event. Let he or she participate in a camp or a clinic. Never know. You may have a coach there that may be interested in signing your kid up, or may have a coach there that may be interested in putting your child on the team. It's done. And the NCAA approves it. As long as there's no more than 3 athletes on that team, the adjoining state. The adjoining state being where their team's official address is. The adjoining state of that official address. So if the official address for the team is the state of Virginia, somewhere in the state of Virginia, or the state of North Carolina, state of South Carolina, state of New York, in the adjoining states, you can go around and find kids from each one, up to 3 kids from various states. Again, part of the memo that you wasn't given. Again, part of the memo that you wasn't given. How many middle schools, and I'm just hitting you with some real facts today there, parents. How many middle schools, coaches, have talked to your child about setting up an initial profile with the eligibility center? How many middle schools just wanted to know? Because that, again, is part of the memo that you may not have gotten. But that is very, very, very highly encouraged that your child does an initial registration with the NCAA in his second or third year in middle school, if he or she is involved in. Why is that so? Because of the simple fact that now the NCAA starts tracking you. Now the NCAA is able to provide time and information, able to provide information to your child as far as schools that's in your area. What programs are in your area? Now they got a track and a running record. And as that time goes on and moves on, and your child gets involved in more and more, his or her name becomes part of that fold, that increases your recruiting capabilities. Especially if your child is maintaining a great grade point average. So why sell yourself short? Why allow your child to sell his or herself short? Again, part of the recruiting memo that you did not get. Part of the recruiting memo that you did not get. Again, Parents Coach Parents Network can help you get a better understanding of the process that you're involved in. Why are we doing this? Because we have went through that experience. We want to be able to share our experience, our knowledge, and our understanding with every parent in the country that's involved in the college recruiting process. we, as an organization, can touch every sport that's being played interscholastically and help you get a better understanding of that sport and of the recruiting process in that sport. Parents, again, we must first get the memo. If you're not getting the memo and you don't understand what you're missing out on, then you don't even have anything to have a conversation on. That goes back to what I said. We don't know what we don't know. We do not know what we don't know. I'm sorry. But I'm here to share with you. I'm here to make sure that you get a better understanding. I'm here to provide you with the tools that you need to help your child get into the recruiting process successfully. Now, am I telling you that I'm going to guarantee you that your child is going to get a scholarship? I can't make that, but I think I can help you increase your chances and your opportunities by a huge percentage. A huge percentage. Two or three things right off the bat that we can do that will increase your child's opportunity tenfold. Let's help you. I want to give you the memo. I want to put that opportunity in your hands, parents. I want to make sure that every child that has the ability, talent, willpower, skills, have an opportunity to at least be heard or seen by a coach. And we're going to have to stop with this last minute, waiting until the senior year and then we're trying to make all kinds of big moves. That's not the process, folks. If your child's waiting until his or her senior year, then he or she has waited too long. Now, is it impossible at that point? No. But you're definitely behind the power curve. And then you know what you're going to say to yourself, or what your child's going to come and present to you. Mom, Dad, let me reclassify. Allow me to reclassify. That's what that whole drama is all about. That's what that whole drama is all about. Reclassifying. Yep. But in order to be successful about this, the memo, you have to get the memo. And if you don't get the memo, then guess what, parents? If you don't get the memo, then guess what? You have sold yourself short. You have sold your child short. You have missed the opportunity to get the best out of it. Now, I'm talking about the memo as if it's a document. Our process is to make sure that you get the best out of this recruiting process. I need you to get the recruiting memo. And we here at the Parents Coach Parents Network is going to help you get a better understanding of that memo. Even if we have to provide it to you. If your school or your child's school doesn't know, because that's what I'm finding out in a lot of cases. Many schools don't know. Many schools have no clue of the recruiting process. They have one or two children that go through and that get recruited, and that child takes that information and moves so far away from the school, and the school system itself, the counselors or the NCAA coordinator that's supposed to be overseeing or aiding that child in the recruiting process, have no clue of what's going on. So if and when that child gets into a tight situation, he has to rely on what? Who? Reaching back to the coach that's trying to convince him to come there, or someone else outside of the food chain to try to provide some type of guidance. Again, that's not how this process is supposed to go. Get the memo. But we didn't get the memo because we don't know what we don't know. But I'm going to help you, parents. I'm going to help you. I need you to reach out to the Parents Coach Parents Network. And I will do everything in my power to help you get a better understanding of the recruiting process. I will clear up the recruiting memo for you. And you're getting this information straight from a parent's perspective. I have no major stake or play in trying to assist anyone to send you to a particular school or to make sure that your child gets in school because it's a attaboy for me or a plus for the parents, because the parents, no, that's not why we're in it. We're in it to make sure that every child has the opportunity to further his or her education. I initially addressed a book that I recently purchased called The Memo by a brother by the name of John Hope Bryant. And this book talks about financial literacy. But while reading the book, I started thinking about the Parents Coach Parents Network and thinking about how all the little small things that's hidden from parents in the recruiting process. And if it's left up to those that's in the process, such as the coaches, you know, their recruiters, their assistants, your off-season coaches, you know, everybody that's involved in that food chain, they will prefer to keep you out of the loop. Why is that so? Why is that the case? Now, we have a number of parents that have jumped into the process and have dug all the way in and made sure that they have inserted themselves into the process. Great, outstanding. But that number is not even, you probably got one for every team. Out of the five or six seniors that's probably about to graduate and another four or five juniors that's on the team, you know, a handful of sophomores that's on the team. We're talking about a varsity sport. Why don't we have every parent involved in the process? It'll be such a smooth transition moving forward. Every parent. We don't, because we didn't get the memo. We didn't get the memo. Sad to say, we didn't get the memo. So as a result, we're left on the outside trying to figure out what to do next. We're left on the outside trying to figure out what to do next. Well, Clarence, I've been on for a good little while here, and haven't seen any callers call in this evening. But, you know, the phone lines are always available for you. Number is 917-889-8095. 917-889-2836. 917-889-2836. Love to hear from you. Give us a call this evening. And, you know, let's just talk about some things. Let's just talk about some things. Let's see how much of the memo have you gotten, have you been exposed to. All right?
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Yes. That young man that they just spoke about, as you heard about in the 2012 NBA draft, that is my oldest child, Mike. He was initially drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. He played with the Hawks for approximately 5 seasons. Currently with the Washington Wizards, and has played with them for this entire season. I say all that to say this. I have had some experience with the recruiting process. Now I want to share that information with you. All right, folks, it's been fun. It's been real fun. And I think I've shared enough information with you this evening. You can always reach out to us on Facebook, Periscope to Paris Network, Facebook page. You can check us out on Twitter at PCP Network and Instagram, PCP Network. Or just connect with us each and every week here on Blog Talk Radio at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, because I am your host, M.H. Scott. All right, folks, you have a great evening.